Hi, and welcome to Dying to Ask the Road to Paris. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and this is another one of our Meet the Team episodes. This summer, Hearst Television will send a team of 9 people to cover the Paris Summer Olympics as part of the Hearst Olympic team. 6 of the 9 have never covered an Olympics. They'll be newbies, so we're excited to show them the ropes. And while they may not have covered an Olympics, they are all very talented and very experienced in TV news. We will have 3 reporters fronting our coverage, and today you're going to be meeting Fletcher Mackel. Now, the name might sound familiar if you have watched our Olympic coverage in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro or 2018 in Pyeongchang, South Korea, since we had another Mackel on the team, Travers Mackel. So the face might also look familiar since Travers and Fletcher Mackel are twins, identical twins. It gets even better. They work at the same station, usually on the same shift, same anchor desk, and they've been doing that for more than 20 years. Travers does news, Fletcher does sports, and here's what the two of them sound like when they're on air together.
On the news at 5 o'clock, hear why 24 hours later, Sean Payton is still very upset about yesterday's game.
Really quickly, in about 10 seconds, let me put you on the spot. Do the Saints have a new kicker on Wednesday? And is it possibly Garrett Hartley? Could we go back to the Super Bowl champs? He puts stuff all over social media.
Is the older, wiser brother? I wouldn't have spoiled the 6 o'clock news. That's 6 o'clock sports.
Okay. We're talking about. It's a good tease.
It's a good tease. Garrett Hartley maybe coming back. It's a big talker on social media.
Can you start the movement? Bring back, what was it, the heartthrob they called him?
Yeah, Garrett Hartley.
Right.
Super Bowl. Number 5. I don't know if he can wear number 5. It's Quan Alexander. We're talking all about that. Yes, they have a new kicker. I don't know if it's Garrett Hartley. Thank you for the tease.
All right, no problem. Christina?
Anytime a Mackel says really quickly, that's like when a pastor says, I'm almost done, but you're not really done. Guys, thank you. It really is my favorite.
Amen to that. I mean, you couldn't make it up, right? Fletcher, as I said, is a sports anchor at WDSU in New Orleans. He is a multi-generational New Orleanian. We'll go into what that means a little later in the show. He has covered Super Bowls and college championships and even Hurricane Katrina. You are going to love his energy. You may be exhausted by it. You will equally love his passion. And personally, I love his instant recall of inspirational quotes. He'll drop a couple right off the bat. I'm just dying to ask what it's like to work with an identical twin, which now that I think about it, is probably something I should also ask people in this newsroom, how his hometown fuels both his work ethic and his passion. And the sports guy makes a pretty bold prediction on who is going to own beach volleyball in Paris. Fletcher Mackel is my guest on Dying to Ask the Road to Paris. Olympians, they're just different. Sure, they're fitter and faster, but they're mentally different too. Because when the body breaks down, the Olympic mindset takes over. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I've traveled to 10 Olympics for Hearst Television with my partner, Mike Domolog. But Domi and I were home for the last 2 games because of the pandemic. But this summer, the Olympics are back in all their glory, and we're going to Paris. Fans of the stands, the full athlete experience, and it's Paris! Trivienne. Join us for the backstories of how Team USA gets to the top of a podium and how you can add a little Olympic edge in your life. Hey, Fletcher, welcome to the Dying to Ask podcast. It's nice to finally get to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. One day soon in person. So
one
I feel
day
like
soon
I
in person.
Already know you, but yes. Well,
and vice versa. And the reason that we have that feeling is that I've actually worked with your identical twin brother, who also works at WDSU, our Hearst station in New Orleans.
Yeah, he's a news anchor and I do sports. And, you know, crazy idea 20 years ago. Hired both of us, and now I joke that they're stuck with us forever. So
total package deal.
Yeah, I hope they realize that was a forever decision when we signed those contracts. So so here we are, and I know that you. I mean, I know your Olympic experience is vast, but my brother got to go to Rio and then to Pyeongchang, which you know he loved and still talks about to this day. So it'll be exciting to go to Paris and finally work with you.
Well, it's funny because like I would walk by Travers, your brother, and I would see him FaceTiming with you. And for people who are not in your family, it is a little bit surreal when they first see you guys interacting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know how to describe it to people because to me, it's just so natural. You know, like people are always like, what's it like to be a twin? It's like, I don't know. I've never known life not being a twin. So I have no idea how to tell you what it's like. But I mean, it is kind of unique. I mean, the fact that we are identical twins and we went to the same schools and played the same sports and then entered the same profession. And now we work together. So it really is a weirdly unique setup, but you know, we're both happy with it and we're pretty normal. And yeah. So it kind of works for us, but you're right. I think sometimes we don't notice, you know, our little banter and interaction in people, you know, that's a novelty to people. For us, it's just kind right. of normal.
Oh, I guarantee you do not have any idea how the rest of us perceive it. But it is a really cool dynamic. And actually what I came away with after all those years of watching the two of you guys interacting through FaceTime is what an awesome friendship you guys both have as well. There's so much respect and love for each other that, like, as a mother of two boys, you like hope that your kids will, as adults, have that kind of connection.
Yeah, no, I mean, Travis is my best friend. And so... now I will say this, growing up, we did bicker and there are times we bicker now, but we never fight to the point where it's like, I didn't talk to him for a month or something like that. We can, even if we have different opinions or something, if he does something that gets under my skin or vice versa, we get over it pretty quickly. And I think that's one of the unique things is it never lingers. It's kind of like an unconditional love and friendship and all that kind of stuff that, you know, there's nothing under the surface that, you know, this person really feels something else. And so, and then there's a lot more good that we can lean into each other. I always think it's good that I think that I am self-aware, but I have a real self-awareness device in my life. And so does he, in the fact that if I do something, say something, he can pull me aside and say, you shouldn't have done that, or lean into that. That's a good idea. Whereas if I think it is, I may be like, okay, I think that's the right thing, but I know I have somebody, good or bad, and vice versa, that can be kind of a sounding board like no other.
So it's so funny that you say that, because that sometimes is one of the things that there are a lot of people who meet spouses in our business just because of the, you know, odd nature of the job. And there's always like this hesitancy to have like a husband and wife be co-anchors, because what happens if that relationship goes south? Yeah. In your case, you guys are kind of like bound for life regardless. It does create kind of a cool dynamic for you.
Yeah, no, it's true. Because we are siblings and we are very close as identical twins. So you're right. I don't think our relationship is going south. But it is good. And like I said, it's been unique and we've grown together. I mean, we've both been at WDSU now 20 plus years, and we're both from New Orleans. So I think we also have a good history and an understanding. I mean, we're always learning new things and developing and growing. No one has ever like post-thought, so to say.
Right.
So we're always evolving. But I do think it's one of those things now, having been here 20 plus years, that I do think I have an appreciation and an understanding of who I am, what I do, who he is, what he does, how we operate, how the city operates in a way that I didn't have 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I like Matthew McConaughey, and I heard him say something and I thought it was great. And he said, my hero is me in 10 years, because I will continue to evolve I'm chasing a better version of myself, so to say. And so he goes, every 10 years, I say my hero is me in 10 years. So I always like that and kind of lean into that sometimes.
Sidebar, my niece is a freshman at University of Texas, and she said he is the most fun on a football Saturday.
Yeah, he was here for the Sugar Bowl. I mean, obviously, it's not like, I mean, we all see him and go, oh my God, it's Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
But Texas has played in a couple of Sugar Bowls here, most recently a college football playoff game against Washington that was amazing. And he's on the sidelines with his leather jacket and all of his Matthew McConaughey-isms, and everybody was... Ian Arbor is kind of like when he walks by, you don't want to stare, but you find yourself going, oh, look, and you kind of quiet, you know, rubberneck him the whole way.
So my sister, my niece's mom, was in law school at UT like 25 odd years ago, back during his like drunk bongo pot smoking, going to the grocery store in the middle of the night days. Yeah. So she used to see him back then. She's like, oh yeah, he's way more calm now. He's more forward thinking, kind of like the quote that you were just mentioning. You mentioned being a multi-generational New Orleanian. Can you explain what that means for people who don't really get it? Because New Orleans it's like going to another country, I think, in a lot of ways, because culturally it's so different than the rest of the country.
Yeah, it is. It's one of these places that's kind of provincial too, in the fact that people trust you more when they know, you know, like it's not a transient place. And that's good and bad. Like, I wish there were times when we would become more global, so to say, or our development was on par maybe with like a Nashville, which is like exploding right now. But then you understand too that the culture and the uniqueness and the history is what is charming about this place. And that's some of the things people really like. So yeah, it's definitely, I heard in Spike Lee's documentary after Hurricane Katrina, I forgot who said it because it was an expansive documentary that was really well done. But somebody said New Orleans is like the Caribbean's northernmost city. And I feel like that is very true. That for people that have been to like, look, there's good and there's bad here. It's a beautifully messy place. But being from here, I do think you have kind of an understanding of how things work, the good and the bad. And again, people here are, you know, accepting. I think that's true everywhere, but in places where there are people that move there 5 years ago, 10 years ago, people would say, boy, you've been there 10 years. You're a resident now, or you have an understanding. You need to be like a fifth generation New Orleanian to be accepted on a level of, you know the culture, you know how it works. We trust you. Like, right. You better have some serious history here, or have ingrained yourself in a way that is way outside the box for people to kind of fully accept you. We're like a happy people and party and food and living life. So we love when visitors come and stuff like that. But to kind of be trusted by the people here, you need to be like invested here and have some like, where did my mom go to high school and my grandfather go to high school? Yeah. And like these things matter here, which is kind of unique.
It is kind of unique and kind of hard to crack into if you're a newcomer, I would guess. So how many generations are you there?
I want to say five or seven. Like, I want to say five sounds light, but it's like five or seven. My aunt did like our history and our lineage and stuff like that. And so she'd probably be upset if she watches this podcast because I should probably know these things, but it's pretty deep. Like we've been here a long time. Both sides of my family, my mother and my father's family, one longer than the other, but both generations, not like my mom got here for college and that's when she got here. Or, you know, something along the lines of, you know, my grandfather came here after the war and this is where he settled down because there was business. Like it goes pretty deep.
That's wild. So I would imagine, because you and I have share in common the being with a station and with our company for 20 plus years in one place, which is super unusual these days. There aren't many people who can do it or who want to do it. So why did you stay? And your brother as well. But like, what was it that kept you there, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think happiness is the ultimate goal, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, we just want to be happy in life. And so, and like, what is happiness? Like, I think we all dream about, like, when you finished Missouri and you think about, like, could I do the Today Show? Like, I mean, certainly when I finished college and started my journey in this business, it's like, where will I go? What will I do? I mean, I applied for jobs in Missoula, Montana, and places, like, crazy places that I thought, oh, I can go there. I'll look at, like, graduate school. But being from here, growing up here, understanding, you know, and again, like, I didn't always look at it and say, I definitely want to be back in New Orleans. I think you dream sometimes and you're like, boy, Chicago's a great city. New York's a great city. Yeah. I mean, Sacramento's a great city. You get to a place and you find a home and it just becomes like organically, I like it here. I like what I do. I like where I live. I like the life I've created. But for us, I think that I was open to possibilities, but knowing that I like New Orleans, I have friends here. I grew up going to Saints games. So I had an affinity for like, this would be so amazing if I could cover these teams and these events that I kind of already have a built-in history and knowledge of. And then when my brother and I both got hired, I think that we had looked at it as we would love to work there. And the fact that we get to work together is great. And I think that 2 years turns into four turns into six to 10. And then you start to, you know, you like what you're doing. There's ups and downs, but for the most part, I still get excited about work and what I do and what we do and the people I work with. And I like doing things in the city. And so, sure. Did you ever think about like, could I go to the NFL Network or could I do this? Sure. But at a certain point, I've always felt like, what are people chasing sometimes? That, like, what's the end goal? Like, is the end goal to say, I make this amount of money, but I live in some place that I hate and I don't really like what I do? So I feel like there's a balance and a happy medium. And I feel like I've worked hard. I like what I do. I like the people I work with. I still feel excited about the work that I do. I feel like financially I do okay. I like my house. I like my neighborhood. Like, there's just a lot of, there's far more pros than cons.
So yeah, no, and that's what Matthew McConaughey would say is winning.
Yeah.
You were smart enough to realize what was winning. And I think you, like me, also figured out a way to do all the things that you might've done at those other places where you are, because you guys go big on pretty much everything, but especially sports. And that's what I think is so exciting about you being on this Olympic team, is you're going to bring a different sports eye to it because you know how to do those bigger things and you know how to do it yourself.
Yeah. So I always tell people this, like, sports is unique in the fact that we do a lot ourselves, and you kind of learn how to do a little bit of everything, which is great, because there's still times I joke with my brother, like, you don't know how to do that, you know? And he's like, just show me how to do it, you know?
Right.
So from a technical aspect, like, I still load Twitter videos for him and I'm like, I think I need to teach you how to do this, like how to pull that clip and put it on Twitter to tease it to a bigger story. But thanks. So I do think that we do, you know, Saints is big here. Like, in the deep South, football is king. Everybody speaks a language called Hut Hut. So we have to be fluent in that language and go big for Saints and LSU winning national championships. So I am excited to cover the Olympics, but I do understand, like, the flavor of the city stories and the human side of it. And I do think that's where having, like, a counterbalance of my brother in news and seeing the big picture sometimes has helped both of us, that when he does news stuff that may be news and sports, he can do the sports, but he understands kind of the news angle of it or the featuring news angle of it. Whereas I am a sports person and I can't wait to go and cover the beach volleyball and the track and field and the basketball and everything else that comes with the Olympics in Paris. But I am excited about doing flavor of the city stuff and any news angles that happen, because my brother's in news and I understand that aspect as well. So, but I am excited to come as a sports person. I think the last sports person is his name Mark Middleton. Was that right? That was a long
Mark was one of them. Yeah. Mark. And it's funny that you should mention Mark. Mark was probably one of the people, he's been one of the greatest mentors that I've ever had. Mark worked at WESH TV in Orlando and was one of the best writers, most creative, innovative, problem solving people I'd ever watched work an event like that, because he could always figure out a way to do something. Even when you thought there's no way, there's always a way. He was one of those people who could always do that. And I think a lot of that had to do with sports, because stuff happens fast and you don't get a do-over in sports. You can get a lot of do-overs in news. Can't get a do-over in sports.
No, I agree. And so I referenced that because I went back and kind of, you know, I've been with Hearst 20 years now, and obviously I've seen you a lot on the Olympic coverage, but I guess I don't know if he was sports and went to news, but somebody told me that he was one of the last kind of sports people that had gone, because there's been a lot of, you know, news anchor type people that have gone more for this kind of coverage. So I was like, wow, okay, that's cool. And I think it's such an honor to be picked, but you're right. I do think you have to kind of figure out a way sometimes to say, hey, the game's ending and we're on live TV. And what are we going to do that's going to make this fun, compelling, interesting? And sometimes it's a high wire act, like in the moment, and that's it. There isn't a little bit more of like the planning of news sometimes of, we know this politician's going to speak when this ends. Sometimes it's just a little bit more on the go and on the fly. And again, I don't know how much of that I'm going to have to do, but I hope I am live up to his high standards of finding ways to make things creative and interesting and a unique skill set, or at least a skill set that's different than potentially a little different. I mean, I think we're all in the same family, but maybe a little bit different than some of the people you've worked with in the past.
Yeah. So you've done Super Bowls, you've done college championships, you've done, you know, your high school athletes, you've done a little bit of everything. Why is an Olympics different, do you think? Like, what are you looking forward to?
Wow, that's a good question. Because you're right. You know, we have a Super Bowl coming up here next year in New Orleans. We played a lot of college championships here, NBA All-Star games. I feel like the scope of this is going to be, and the good thing is I reference my brother in people like you, is I do feel like mentally I'm a little bit more prepared for it. Like, I don't think anything, it's always like paper versus practice. On paper, I have an understanding of it. In practice, I think I'm going to be able to execute it, but that's a different ball game. So I think mentally preparing myself for the scope of it because of how big it is. I mean, the Super Bowl is amazing, and the NFL takes over cities for a week, but it's two teams and it's a week. Whereas,
and really, it's one thing. It's singular focus.
It's one game and that's it. Whereas this is the world and it's dozens of sports and it's 3 weeks long.
And like 17,000 languages and lots of problems. And you name it.
So to me, the thing that, I've tried to make sure I'm mentally prepared for, even though, again, I won't fully know until practice, but on paper is kind of the scope of how big it is and how meaningful it is and what it is. And it's not just, you know, it's the sports, but the city of Paris and just it's everything. So I feel like this will be, you know, even though I've covered Super Bowls and national championships and all this stuff, this is certainly going to be on a scale that is far more grand than any of that.
Do you want to take dibs on any sports?
Not really, to be honest with you. I mean, that.
What about golf? You don't want to take dibs on golf?
Yeah, I mean, like, I like golf. My dad was a golfer, and I do love golf. I am one of these people, too, that I tried to be, like, selfless, and I feel like it's my first time on the team. So, like, if you told me, like, you're going to go, like, sweep the floors while we work, I'd be like, that's cool. I'll make sure they're clean every day, and it's going to be, like, the best I can do. So I'm not, like a selfish person in the fact that like I need to do this or I'm going to have like a little attitude about it or something.
That won't fly that because it just, it's too tiring to be like that. But I just mean like, if there's like one sport you just love, like what would it be? Like what would you love to get to see or cover?
So selfishly, since I said I'm going to be selfishly, probably beach volleyball. And the reason being is because one of the best teams in the world right now is from New Orleans. Like Kristen Nuss and Taryn Cloth are LSU graduates, and Kristen Nuss is from New Orleans and went to school like a mile from where I am right now. And I think they're going to become like stars at the Olympics. Maybe I'm wrong. Cue this up in like 6 months. But one is like a 6'6", just everything you think of is like built in a lab beach volleyball player. And then the other one is like this 5'5" little dynamic dynamo, but they were at LSU. They turned pro. They become one of the best teams on the AVP tour. And they are great. And I've had a chance to know them. And even though Taryn is from North Dakota, she came to LSU and she's like an adopted Louisianian. And then Kristen is from New Orleans. Her grandfather was from New Orleans and was one of the youngest players in Major League Baseball history. Her family has like strong, strong ties that I talked about to New Orleans. It would mean a lot for our city. You're in California where there's a ton of Olympians. We have Olympians, but not at the same scale. We've turned out far more NFL players than anything else. So to have like a born and raised Louisiana, New Orleans woman as a medalist will be fantastic for our city. So
do you know what I love about them as a team too, is that it really speaks to the rise of volleyball and beach volleyball across the country and how popular for women, especially it's gotten in the last 5 to 10 years, that a top team is coming from the middle of America is pretty awesome. Cause usually it's coming from the West Coast.
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like the best. I mean, I think back to like Carrie Walsh and Misty May, California people, like in even like internationally, like I know Brazil has some great teams. And so, but this team is from like the deep South, and it's not like they're transplants. Like, oh, we stole them from Hermosa Beach and got them to come to school here. Like one is from New Orleans. And the fact too, is that she's not a prototypical player. Like when you see her, you're like, hold on. This little girl over here is like the best beach volleyball player in the world. It's like, yes. And so what she can do to inspire people, like I went with them to a children's hospital and Taryn is amazing. But when she comes in at 6'6", you go, wow, she's an athlete. She looks like an athlete. But when Kristen comes in, it was amazing the way some of these young kids responded to Haar, it reminds me a lot of Drew Brees. Drew Brees was this amazing quarterback for New Orleans, and he was so undersized, but he did things that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and you'd see Drew Brees and go, wow, this guy is like just a normal guy. And I think that that is inspiring to young people. It shows that anybody from any side, like, don't ever let people put you in a box and say you're not big enough, tall enough, strong enough, fast enough. If you work hard enough, you can do it. And I think she shows that. And I think their story will really resonate. So I hope they make a great run.
And that is what the Olympics is all about. Okay, so for the next couple of months, what are some good ways for people to keep up with you on social media?
So I have all the social medias, but I guess I've been told to stop calling it Twitter. So like X is still my kind of go-to.
Make sure you tell Travers.
Yes. So I am on Twitter or X at Fletcher WDSU. I also have Facebook, Fletcher Mackel WDSU, and then Instagram. You know, we all do pictures and videos and stuff. But I've spent probably the most of my social media time on X.
Awesome. All right. Hey, it was really great getting to chat with you. We'll do this again and enjoy the next couple of months. And I can't wait to see you in Paris.
I was going to say, so just so you know, real quick, like, yeah, you see how much I talk. It's a good thing I didn't have the second cup of coffee because
I know,
like, I mean, there's a couple of times you have to cut me off there because we'd probably be going for an hour.
I just wish you could be a little bit more expressive. That's all. In our next Meet the Team episode, we will head to Baltimore and meet Jason Newton of WBAL-TV. Jason is another long-timer at Hearst Television, and you will find out how a would-be doctor ended up anchoring the news and is now heading to cover the Paris Olympics. If you have a story idea you'd love us to cover, you can always email me, dfitzpatrick@hearst.com. Hearst is spelled H-E-A-R-S-T. Or you can reach out to me on Instagram. You'll find me at Run, Read, Sip. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick. This is Dying to Ask, The Road to Paris.